Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey friends, welcome to another edition of the Tennis and Bagels podcast. I'm here with a special guest, like a person that is coming here for the first time. She graciously accepted my offer. And this one is going to be a very special, you might have noticed for the title of this podcast. It's going to be all about Canada and all about the Billie Jean King Cup. I am here with, let me just grab my stat sheet from you before, because you sent me some stuff and I don't want to get what it was, a content creator, sorry, basketball and tennis content creator. Follow her Twitter, she's amazing. How are you doing, Karina? I'm so bad at this, I'm very sorry. This is Karina Mustafa, everybody.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah. I'm good, I'm excited to talk about Team Canada's win.
Yeah, let's go. So yeah, as you may have been following, the Team Canada has won their first Billie Jean King Cup title. This Sunday, as we record today, is Tuesday, led by none other than Leila Fernandez, 2021 U.S. Open champion, former world number 13. But yeah, she also had like a really solid team behind her as well. And yeah, so what are your thoughts on this win, on this team?
Yeah, I think if they were giving out MVP awards, I think Leila Fernandez would have absolutely gotten it for Team Canada. If you include the qualifiers in Vancouver back in April, she went undefeated for this team during this Billie Jean King Cup run, which is absolutely huge. Like, they would not have won it without her. And, you know, say what you want about Leila's season. Like, it was a little bit rocky throughout the year. But when it came to this team event, like, she just pulled out a different level of tennis. I don't know what it was. Maybe there's something about, like, a team atmosphere that motivates her to play her best, because we know she also did well in doubles this year. And in doubles, you have your partner. There is that kind of level of teamwork there. So we've seen Leila really kind of thrive with that. And she performed really, really well. I think it all starts with serving for Leila Fernandez. I think, like, when her serving is going awful, it's kind of when the rest of her game starts to fall apart. And that's kind of what led to a lot of troubles this year. But we see that when she's on it, like, everything else just follows through. And she was absolutely huge going undefeated for Canada to win in both singles and doubles, yeah, by the way, right? Like, that's incredible. And I think it's just a testament to her development as a tennis player.
Yeah, I was actually came across this stat. I don't really exactly remember who posted it, but it was the fact that Team Canada was actually very close to losing and not even making it to the finals this year, because she was a set and a breakdown to Iseline Bonaventure this year, whom I believe had beaten her even in January in the Australian Open swing. So yeah, it was actually very close. Like, when I was there in Vancouver, after we got past the hurdle and we tied it all and we completely dominated the doubles, it kind of makes you kind of forget how close we actually were from not being out there. And the fact that Leila just pulled it off and came on so strong against Soriba Stormo, like, and mammoth alpha match, like, 3 hours long, like, could easily have been four if Soriba Stormo had taken one of those set points, and who knows where we're gonna go from there. And then to beat Vondrousova in the other one in that crucial match, because Sakušić, who has done an unbelievable job, we're gonna get her soon, but she had comprehensively been beaten by Barbara Krejčíková, who's a, you know, it's, she has been in the underdog the entire competition. That was basically the only time that she, you know, didn't come through with the win. But Leila Fernandez to come in and just take out the world number 9 or 10, I think,
Yeah, it was her Wimbledon first champion. It was her first top 10 win since the 2021 US Open when she made the final. Like, that's that alone is kind of just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for, as you said, like, Leila Fernandez, I think she has never even lost a match in doubles in Billie Jean King Cup competition yet to this day.
Yeah, no, it's so pretty incredible. Like, her and her game, like, I even asked her about this in April. Like, I kind of asked her, like, because she hits really accurate shots. Like, she really goes for those corners. And I asked her if that's something that, like, she tends to practice or it just comes out when she's playing. And she kind of called her game, like, risky. But that's something that she's just always done, like, ever since she started playing tennis. And, like, it really, for some reason, it just really, really goes well in these team events, which is great because it got Team Canada the win.
Yeah, I really think that the atmosphere really does help her. And she does well. Heidi Altabach, the captain of the team, like, she's an angel, like, a great person to be around. I think just a driving force of the team as well. And and I think that just it's a little bit in a sense, like, how not so similar, but like how Felix ended his season last year. Then he ended off winning the Davis Cup as well, which, by the way, we are champions in both now, which is really cool.
For now, we'll see how the men.
Yeah, for at least 2 weeks. In a week. But yeah, Leila had like a solid end of her season. Won a title in Hong Kong. I think she went like for roughly 7 matches in a row without losing, and then lost to Siniakova, whom she had beaten in the final. Lost in the semis, like the tournament right after. So she was kind of going in like probably like in her best form of the season. And yeah, it was like the last competition that she could, you know, make a statement. I believe that it was like more than a statement that she's made. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think winning that 1000 event at the end of the year was kind of huge. Also for her confidence too, right? Like, it's hard. Like, being a tennis player is hard. Yeah. And when you're not winning a lot and you're starting to kind of drop consecutive matches in a row, like, it can be tough to kind of get back into it. So like that was a huge boost of confidence for her and ultimately paid off in the end.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I mean, just playing alongside Dabrowski as well, who has won the US Open title in the women's singles. She's now a 3-time Grand Slam champion. First one with, I think, some people like to call her, she's basically Canadian Erin Roliff. She plays for New Zealand, but yeah.
Yeah, so she's Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. we claim her for ourselves.
Yeah, it's convenient. No, Gabby Dabrowski, like, she's so clutch. Like, she's been so clutch for this team. Like, in the qualifiers when they played that deciding doubles rubber, they did it this time too. And I just think, like, people maybe underestimate, like, just how hard doubles tennis actually is. Like, and I think my biggest piece of advice regarding that is you have to watch a doubles match in person to see just how fast the ball is moving and how quickly these players have to make decisions. And I think with Gabby's experience and winning the US Open this year was absolutely huge. And like, I just felt so nice to see a Canadian win a Grand Slam again. Yeah. It was a really good feeling. And Gabby just has experience. She's intelligent. Like, that's actually the word that she used when I asked her when Team Canada won the qualifiers back in April. I was like, if you could describe this team in one word, what would it be? And she said intelligent. And I really think that kind of shines through with, they're all coaching each other. They're all in this together. They're really smart. They know how to play tennis well. And I think, like, Gabby was a huge, huge factor for this team.
Yeah, I think because I saw the clip as well that you posted and Leila said fighter. I think it's basically they almost tended to say the words that they believe in themselves as well. Because, like, I don't feel like anybody fights as Leila does. And I think it's always, it's almost encouraging to see, like, even though she has not been doing, like, her best, like, throughout the season, the way that she always fights, you've seen a couple of times that she felt a little down, and it's normal, as you explained. It's tough to you know, not really reach the level that you know you're capable of. When she plays, she just has this never give up attitude. The way that she celebrates, it just kind of like just brings the energy up. It's like she's never not been like the one that she that was at the U.S. Open. It was just her. Like, at that moment, we just saw a full Leila Fernandez, and she's never really backed down from that one. So I really like that attitude.
And like you said, like, she feeds on the crowd. Like we saw that. And like when they won the final, like she threw her racket in the air. Like she was so happy. And you always see her kind of like raising her arms and getting the crowd to cheer on. I think that's like such an incredible trait, especially for someone that young. Like, well, like her and I are the same age, so I call her young, but we're both 21.
For a tennis player.
yeah, for a tennis player. But like it's cool because like I get to relate to her a lot too. I think that's another really special thing when it comes to covering that team. I'm just like, oh, like I kind of see a little bit of myself in her, but also she's way more confident than I would ever be, especially on a stage like that, which is just really cool to see.
Yeah, I love her level of maturity in press conferences, on court. She knows her weapons, she knows what she excels at, and I think that you shone through. Even when she played Vondrousova, Vondrousova might have been a little jet-lagged and not necessarily in her best form, but still, like, it was a tough three-setter. She had to come through with it. Like, Vondrousova was, like, really hitting hard at some points. And just Leila just, like, came through with, like, this aggressive mindset. And I just really enjoyed playing it. And honestly, like, when I saw the Italians on the other side, I just felt, like, for myself, like, there's no way you were losing this. Like, it's basically, like, when I saw the Australia on the other side, I was like, this is going to take a miracle for us to lose this. Because it's definitely ours. Especially after last year, when Leila played Travis Sun in the finals round in the group stage, she double bagged her in like 44 minutes. he was over before he could even like feel it.
Yeah.
So I thought of it for us as like, there's no way this team is thinking of anything but holding this trophy afterwards.
Yeah, so, like especially after defeating the Czech Republic. Like, yeah. I think after that, like, it's just that was the hardest obstacle to cross.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Yeah. And Marina Stakusic, like, now that you've mentioned her before, what a secret weapon that we found. I think those team competitions are great because of that reason. Like, when you normally get to put on people like Gab Diallo last year and Alexi Galarno did this year as well. Against players that they wouldn't really normally face unless it would be like a first round of like a big tournament. They don't necessarily get that chance to like get that. And Stakusic gets this chance and gets it multiple times across the week because it's a group stage thing. Like you win by virtue of like your teammates also winning. That's why it's also so hard to do it because everybody kind of has to be playing their best. But it's also great because you can kind of rely on your teammates. So that's really cool. But Stakusic, she surprised me like a lot. Like I saw that she won the title, and I thought that's a good decision to put her on court. But at best, I would have thought like the first win is like okay, that dream start. Let's see what happens after. But couldn't even believe it. Like when she lost to Krejcikova, I was like, oh, she was almost due for a loss at that point.
Yeah, and I think that's like. That was fine. Like you're losing to somebody who won a Grand Slam, is one of the top players in the world in doubles and in singles.
Yeah.
Like I think that's okay. Like you're 18 years old. You're gonna have like losses like that. But I think, and like I told you before we hopped on this, like I think my relationship with Marina Stakusic is kind of special because just a few weeks ago I was interviewing her at the Tevlin Challenger when she won. The ITF title, and she had also won in Berkeley before that too. So she was kind of like on the up, and that was the first time I had ever seen her play. And I think watching her in person was super helpful too, because I could see how hard she hits the ball, and like she hits it hard and she is super precise. That is something that really kind of stood out to me, where she knows how to pick her spots. And I think one of the biggest things that I noticed from like literally just sitting right in front of her watching is that when things would start to go wrong, like let's say she lost like maybe a couple points in a row and she would start to get really frustrated and make mistakes, she would just know what to do. Like she would know how to adjust to what she was doing wrong and maybe like try to turn her game on a little bit more, and then she would do it. And so like in that final in Toronto against Yana Fett, like Yana Fett is not an easy opponent to play against, was on the WTA tour ranked in previous years, did really well, kind of struggled with injuries, and so now was playing at more of the challenger level tour, but she was also a really hard hitter, and I thought Marina did a great job against her, kind of just figuring it out, kind of like a puzzle. And I think like another player that is kind of similar in that sense is like Bianca Andreescu. Like that's somebody that I look at that you can adapt mid-game to whatever your opponent is throwing at you. And that is a really, really rare thing to have as a tennis player. And that's kind of what separates the great from the good. And I looked at Marina and I just watched her play. And I thought to myself, like 2 weeks ago in Toronto, I was like, she is going to be really special. I think she has a really big future in tennis. And I might even go as far to say is that she might be one of the best Canadian tennis players when this is all said and done. Like when all of these like younger players, the core four, everybody, when their careers are over, Marina Sakucic might be the one that ends up having a better career than the rest of them, just based on her game right now, obviously hoping that everyone stays healthy, all that. But so when I saw that, you know, she got invited to be for Team Canada, I thought this is a fantastic opportunity for her. And I think she even like surpassed my expectations a little bit, just because like, even though I kind of knew, like I kind of thought to myself that she was going to be special, I thought, but it was still going to take a little bit of time with her being so young. But right out of the gate, like she performed so well and really gutsy too. Like these are big, like the biggest wins of her career ever to date. These are really hard players to play against. And I thought she passed the test with flying colors, and this is going to be huge for her development as she like continues to play more on the professional tour.
Yeah, I mean, that what a crop of players we've been getting, right? Like so many youngsters, and you can see that they're not just like power players. Like I think that's one of the things that the U.S. hasn't been doing quite as well, which is they're just like developing the guys with the big forehand, big serve. I think Canada is doing such a great job of developing players who have like a solid IQ, like a solid approach to the game, that not only they can actually perform well in like all aspects, technicality and everything, but they also have a vision and they can see the court and they can see like and just, you know, self-evaluate mid-match and like after a match, like just go on to the drawing board, like what's wrong, like what do I need to work on for the next match so that doesn't happen again. I think Layla and Felix were just like, and obviously Andreescu, who is our Grand Slam champion, like the one that wrote history basically first in the singles game for us after the huge success of Milos and Egini. Those are just players that they just excel in just like variety and just knowing what to do and adapting mid game. We saw a lot of that on Layla in the U.S. Open, and I'm super happy to see that in Marina. And she has such a technique that is so fluid. It is like kind of like long take backs, and sometimes it doesn't really feel like she's gonna hit the ball in the right timing, but she pulls it off, and it just feels so relaxed. And I love to see those techniques when the technique is fluid, because it mostly means that they're gonna avoid injury for most of their careers. If the technique's
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A little wonky. Normally they could pull off like an elbow injury or a back injury or something like that, but I feel like Marina has like all the tools to succeed as well. How tall is she? I think she's also pretty tall.
She's a bit tall. I mean, so I'm like, for reference, I'm 5'8", so I think she's around maybe 5'10", maybe 5'11", I would say. So that's actually like, it's a pretty good height to be at, I would say.
Yeah. And I always think about like Ash Barty in terms of serve, because it's like, well, Ash is 5'6", I believe. And she had one of the best serves in the game. Like there's nothing standing in the way of a person like Marina Sakucic to develop some of the best serves, some of the best forehands, 1-2 game. I'm excited to see what she's coming through in 2024, like how she follows that up. And same for Layla as well, like to be fair, how that's going to like pump her up. It's a bit of a shame that Rebecca Marino couldn't step on court this time around, but she is pulling through for this team for so long. She also deserved the title as well. Just being with the team. Jeannie just always a great cheerleader as well. She always brings the morale up. So
I was actually really happy with Jeannie's performance in doubles. I think actually the way she played with Gabby was really nice, because I wasn't sure what to fully expect with Jeannie being on this team. But I think Heidi putting her in with early on, not in the finals, obviously, because you had Layla playing the doubles, and obviously you're going to go with Layla every time. Yeah. But in the quarters, putting Jeannie in to play with Gabby in doubles and then having them win, I think that was huge. That was really cool to see, because, it's kind of a weird time where you're just it's the passing of the old guard, where you have the vets and then you have the core four, which are kind of young, but then they're also kind of experienced. And then you have these young up and comers like Marina Sakusic, who is just a lot of variety in Canadian tennis right now with who we still have going.
Yeah. So just 100% super happy with the Billie Jean King Cup. I'm hoping so much that the guys can pull it off as well, in the Davis Cup in 2 years time from now. Could you imagine? I think it'll be wow. Wouldn't even have words. I barely have any words to describe what just happened just now. But even though we've been recording for half an hour at this point. I think in terms of how this is going to translate to the future, it's always a little tough. It's team competition, but I think Layla is really just primed for another good season. She had struggles with her foot last year, which kind of threw her off quite a lot. And honestly, this season, I'm going to give a lot of her early rounds exit due to bad draws. That's essentially where she got. She got Garcia three times in the year in three grand.
Right?
It was so annoying.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Every time I saw that, I was like, there's no way she drew her again. Incredibly tough. Yeah.
Yeah. And as one of the tournaments that I was watching, I think it was, I want to say Cleveland, that she played Tatiana Maria. And she just, Tatiana just annoyed Layla to death in that match. She was just slice after slice. Layla was, that was probably the only time that I saw Layla just completely flabbergasted by what was going on in court. She had no answer, no idea what to do. Probably she said after the match, "Is like, what just happened? I just need to see this again because I don't know what I just saw." And I was there. I feel like this bad draws were half of the problem for Layla this season. And I think that her ranking is quite close now to Grand Slam seeding. If she can pull that seeding up to the Australian Open, I think it's going to be huge for her. But if not, I think that she can still, grow in her ranking. I think it's just bound to go up from now on.
Yeah, I think now with some time off and then maybe some of the warm-up tournaments in January. I think the United Cup is also at the end of December, but I'm not sure, is Canada playing in that? I'm not entirely sure which countries will be playing. Yeah. I know the U.S. will be playing because they're defending champs, but... Yeah. That could be another thing that is interesting to look at in terms of team competition, with that being another team event on the calendar.
Yeah. I know that apparently Felix and Layla expressed interest in participating, but I'm not entirely sure what's the requirements for a country to actually qualify for entering the tournament. There's obviously ranking, but I don't know if they need another two players or just one to
I'll have to look into it, because this is only the second year that they're doing it, so it's still pretty new. But I think last year was fun. Jessica Pegula beat Iga Świątek in the United Cup last year. I remember that being one of the big highlights. And then we saw the year that Pegula ended up having, so I don't know, it could be foreshadowing for some players.
I really do like the fact that we can get to see just the tours coming together for something. I think that the United Cup is this still in its rough stages, but at least it's giving us a pretty good idea of what it could look like if we ever made a bigger merge in other terms, like a Davis Cup and Billie Jean King Cup. Although I do feel like it would be a bit of a loss to lose those team competitions if we just merge them into one. Kind of like him being just all female, all male. I think you bring something special to it. And they kind of also push each other to go bigger and just, it's kind of a healthy competition between men and women in that regard. I'm just looking forward to see it. And also, I pretty sure the United Cup changed the format. There used to be like a best of five matches. Now it's going to be best of three as the ATP Cup. I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked it up, but like I'm very rough on my knowledge on the United Cup, mostly because Canada didn't play, so I had no interest in it this year. But yeah. But yeah, so what is, do you know what is Marina's current ranking right now, Stekusic?
She's in the 200s, I think. I'm not sure. Like, does Billie Jean King Cup, do they affect rankings at all?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
At some point, they used to, but they're not anymore.
Yeah, I think she's at, I think Marina's at, like, 286 or something like that. Yeah. That's a number like that. I think, honestly, like, at this point, she's ready for more. So that number, I think she said her goal is to be in the top 100 by this time next year. I think she'll very easily crack that if she continues to play like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, because there's not, when you look at the jump that you have to make, like it can seem a little daunting, but there's not a lot of points separating these people. Maybe a break into the top 100, that's when you start getting like 115, 110, that's when it starts getting a little rougher, because then the points start spreading out a little bit more. But from 296 to like 196 is a couple of good tournaments and you can be there. Like a couple challengers, like 60s, 70. Maybe she can even qualify for like 125 and get a sense of like a higher competition. I think it's...
She definitely could.
Yeah. She could definitely like make that jump and, you know, but this time next year, who knows? So yeah, excited to see what happens. I'm also really hoping for Moreno to, you know, even though she didn't step on court this time in singles, I feel like she can feed off of this win and just feel more encouraged as well to play well next year. She struggled a little bit. She couldn't get the win this year and in Vancouver in front of her own crowd. It was a really good match though. So,
I know. I remember in Vancouver in April, I remember Heidi said that Marino was dealing with some stomach issue. I don't know what it was. She was dealing with something, but... Yeah, no, I definitely feel you on that. I think, like, overall, she had some pretty good results this year on her end outside of the team events. But, yeah, now I think that's, like, extra motivation, too. We'll see how she does in this next upcoming year. I know she was at – I think she was representing Canada at the Pan American Games a few weeks ago, too. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how Marino's year goes. I'm kind of, like, tampered expectations with her at this point just based on like her game at this stage of her career and how she's kind of performed. I think she isn't a very flashy player, and so like when I think of players like that, I think of like Pegula, Świątek, but like they are obviously at a different level, and I'm not sure if Marino is like at that level. Well, she obviously isn't at that level because they are the top tennis players in the world, but I just don't know if she can maybe get to that. It's just hard when you don't really have something that's like overwhelming in your bag of tricks. Like with Layla being a lefty and her precision, I feel like that's her strength. With Marina Stekusic, we talked about, you know, how her fluidity and just like her level of hitting. So I think it's all relative to the player, but I am interested to see how her year goes in 2024.
Yeah. I always thought that like maybe she could maximize her game like the way that Isner or Karlovic did on the ATP side. It could be a thing. Maybe she could take a page out of Rybakina's book and just like try to serve her way out of trouble. If she can get those percentages up and like just get her 1-2 game like up in the air, up and running, I think it's and just, you know, just do more volley. I remember when she did really well in Montreal a couple of years ago. She got a win over Keys and Badosa. Reaching the third round here, like one of the things that she did really well was just coming to the net, just staying aggressive, because you know you're never going to compete against some of those players on the front, the back of the court, not necessarily with her game. She doesn't have that much spin on the forehand, her shots are pretty flat, so if you're not going to like be super precise and just mad, like mind-blowingly consistent like a Pegula, you're probably going to be wanting to finish the point really fast. And I think that's one of the things that she could try to maximize over for 2024 and see if you can have like another, you know, solid season. But yeah, with, as you said, with tempered expectations, at this point, like I think it would be really interesting, and just hoping that she could maybe win like another 100 level ITF, or if she goes big for a 125, I think she can maybe put on like a solid week like that, and I think she could maybe do it if things are clicking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's it. Like the Dojinki Cup is win. We're always still over the moon. It does feel like it's been 2 weeks now that this happened, but it's only on Sunday. So
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. An incredible win for Canada. I'm just like, yeah, just overall really proud of this team. Also, like special shout out to Captain Heidi Altebach. Like she is absolutely incredible. She's been incredible with this Canadian team for so long. You can tell that all the women really respect her, really admire her, and yeah, just respect her opinion, her thoughts, her coaching. And she does a really good job of like being firm, but also hyping up the girls and making sure they feel comfortable with what they're doing and just knowing how to take that next step. So yeah, I just wanted to give a special shout out to her because it was always a pleasure to speak with her during media. And yeah, she very much deserves this win along with the rest of the players.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a rock. She's a person that, like, you see, like, the girls, like, looking at her, and she would just, like, you know, just receive them, like, on the bench. And, like, if things are going not so good, like, she would just, like, always cheer with them. You can see that she's always, like, very engaged in it. Like,
absolutely.
It's definitely lovely to see. Like, tennis is an individual competition, but this team is a real team. Like, it's as good a team as a tennis match can ever be in the you know, it's really great. I love seeing it. I love seeing them win. Yeah, just can't wait for what happens next and for Team Canada, and honestly for women's tennis in Canada. It's already in such a great spot, like with the athletes that we do have. We could maybe make another breakthrough. I know, like, we had some few setbacks, some rankings drop, and Andreescu's been struggling with some injuries and whatnot, but I think that this shows that we are still in a great spot. And women's tennis in Canada is...
Oh, I'm going to be riding this for an entire year.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be talking about it the whole year. No, it was a great win. And, like, yeah, even with Bianca, I'm hoping she is healthy enough because I'm excited to see her back on the court sometime soon. It would be very nice to get a healthy Bianca for, like, an entire year.
Yeah. Yeah, the tennis world is a better place when she's playing at her best because the matches that she can pull off are great.
Yeah.
Even when she did, I think this year she pushed Swiatek to like a 7-6 set when nobody could even like take more than four games. It was,
She played some of the best tennis since like, you know, her Grand Slam days. So yeah, no, I'm still really, really high on Bianca Andreescu.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that very clear last year, and I will continue to be high on her. So, which is why I'm hoping that she'll be healthy enough to play, because I'm still seeing, like, especially even in like Montreal, like, I'm still seeing the flashes of what she is as a player, and I'm still seeing that her level is there. So I think there's still a lot of potential and a lot left for her on the table.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm excited that this year is going to be in Toronto, like the Canadian tournament where she has a lot of good memories. I think she can perform well again, like, depending on obviously how her season goes, but she's a Toronto girl at heart. She shows it. Her accent is even like a Toronto girl. Like, it's crazy. Like, she loves that city and she loves performing from her home crowd. A bit like Layla, she does have the sense of like just feeding off the crowd and just like being there. Like, everybody kind of just feels like you're into something when Bianca's on and she's playing well. You know, you feel like you're part of the moment with her. I think that
she wears her emotions on her sleeve. Yeah. And so you feel, I know people have like their thoughts and opinions about, you know, the way that she sometimes maybe screams during matches. When she lets out a come on, I love it. Yeah. I get fired up. I absolutely love it. She really makes tennis extremely entertaining.
Yeah. And who knows, maybe by next year, she stays healthy and has a good, you know, year. We could see like a Layla having a good year, Bianca having a good year. If Marina gets another great year as well, Billie Jean King Cup could come back home for a second straight year. You never know. Never rule it out.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So thank you very much for coming. Maybe we'll see you again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter at KrinaMM. I have, right now it's college women's basketball season, so I'm covering that on a podcast at Hurt Hoop Stats called Coast to Coast. But I'm always covering tennis. So you can make sure to follow my socials for that. I think my most recent experience covering the Tubman Challenger a couple of weeks ago was honestly really cool. I love seeing like also just like more the grassroots level tennis like that too on the Challenger Tour. I think It lends to some really exciting names like Marina Sakucic, who now all of a sudden is on the group stage and everybody knows about her. And you can just kind of be like, oh, I saw her coming. Like, I knew that she was going to be special. That's always a nice feeling, you know?
Yeah. It's like being the tennis hipster is always good. Like,
yeah.
I knew her when she was like...
We're the nerds.
Yeah. When her ranking was like even outside of the top 300, I already knew her.
Yeah,
how about you?
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Karina. Hope we can see you again sometime soon. Again, for your listeners, you can always follow us at Tennis and Bagels. I'm at Rolenberg Andre. You can find the other two hosts in their bios. And hoping you have a great day. I know we as Canadians are definitely having a great week. So yeah, let's see you guys later. See you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.